Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 49. Yes, we are nearly up to the big 5-0. What a ride it has been. What a ride indeed. And tonight, we have a lot to talk about, and we have a wonderful guest, Harry from True UK. He does a great show. His show, TRUK, has nothing to do with Tommy Robinson. So if you thought this was a show that was about to be cucked and we were having a guy on who wanted to tell us that we should all serve other masters, and more on that later, because I'm going to be showing you something later that's going to be explosive. And I really mean explosive. I've been going through Companies House filings, and I've gone through the EDL was actually a limited company at Companies House, and I've got some explosive information from the Companies House website. This isn't something that's been photoshopped. This isn't something that's nonsense. This is from the Companies House website. A few people know what this is, but it's going to be live on the show tonight, so look forward to that. But before we get into that, where are we? Well, of course, we are live, as always, on YouTube. So if you're a subscriber, fantastic. If you're not, make sure you hit that subscribe button. But we're also live on Radio Albion, which is run by my good friend Sven Longshanks. Now, Radio Albion is full of quality nationalist material all day, every day. And there's a great community over there. So when you've finished watching this show or other shows like it, Radio Albion is a great place if you're looking for more nationalist material. And as I said, Sven Longshanks, an amazing guy, tireless worker, somebody absolutely committed to our cause. Please support him. He's also somebody who helps. Well, he does help. He's the other part of doing these big conferences we do. So he deserves our respect. He deserves our support. Now, if you want to support me and if you want to support this channel, the best way to do that, if you're looking to do it financially, is through Entropy. Now, the Entropy link is in the description. It's on my Twitter. It's on my Telegram. And it is now in the live chat there. So if you would like to make a financial contribution, please do it via Entropy. Entropy is always also the place where we ask questions. Every donation or super chat is read out live on air and answered by myself or the panel or whoever it's directed to. And you can also ask questions. The best questions are voted up, and the best questions are asked to the panel every single week. So if you want to get involved with the show, please do it through Entropy. That is the way to contribute financially. That is the way to ask questions. Now, if you want to contribute financially in other ways, there are two ways to do that. The first way is via Bitcoin. I accept Bitcoin donations. The description of that is in the link. And the link, sorry, is in the description below. And also, you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. You can also write to me if you need help. Many people do. I reply to all emails, unless it's a circular. Please don't sign up to circulars. Or if it's just a link without any context. If you send me links that without context, I'm not going to give you a thoughtful reply. But if you send me something, you need help, you want to discuss something, you've got personal problems, you need a bit of life advice, I spend a lot of time doing that. More than happy to help. So, please contact me, mark@thefallofwesternman.com, if you want to donate in another way or if you need any help. Now, finally, I've got to give us a huge push. I've been pushing this every week. www.patrioticalternative.org.uk. That is our website. Things are going fantastically over there. Laura Towler, deputy leader of Patriotic Alternative, she is our web editor, and she's doing a phenomenal job, and so are all of the writers. We've got so much going on over there. Every day, there's at least two news articles updated per day, which is absolutely fantastic news. And they're of the highest quality. They're not just copy and paste from the mainstream news. They are proper political analysis, talking about things that no other group in the UK is talking about. So very important, www.patrioticalternative.org.uk. And that's where you need to sign up to if you want to come to future events, conferences, and get involved with real life events, community building, and this movement of ours. That is where it is all based. Now, one final thing before I hand that over to Jason. We've got some very important things to talk about tonight. We're going to be talking about the economics of the coronavirus. We're going to be talking a bit about Anne-Marie Waters' meltdown, which happened just on Easter weekend. I woke up and I couldn't believe it. Anne-Marie Waters has had some kind of crazy breakdown. She'd gone out of bed, apparently inundated with questions about Patriotic Alternative, causing her to have her her meltdown where she accused me of lots and lots of things, which really sounded like Hope Not Hate had written the script for her. I think she ticked every box. I think she said we were homophobic, racist, anti-Semitic, misogynist. I think she was going for the full rainbow of insults there, which tells you really a lot about a person when they can't argue with your points, but use every single leftist buzzword going to smear their opponents. Needless to say, despite losing her cool, despite this silly rant video that's been absolutely ratioed, despite the fact it was put out by both her and Tommy Robinson, and it was still massively voted down with about a 2-1 negative ratio, she still won't debate me. She won't debate me because she's another coward. But we will be talking about her later and her nonsense. Now, my video last week, which was on the coronavirus and GDP, that's been taken a little bit negatively by a few people who think that we should be running a debt-fueled economy and a credit-based economy because that's what the people love. Well, I disagree with that. And because of everything that's been said about the coronavirus, people keep writing me saying, oh, look at this article about 5G. Look at this article about the coronavirus. This is a hoax. That's a hoax. This is the real thing. And I really want to clear this up. So all my thoughts are in one place. So this week, I will not be doing a weekly video because if I did, it'd be about an hour long or maybe longer. But I'm not recording all that text to edit it all down and put pictures in because that would take me hours and hours and hours. And at the end of it, somebody had asked me a question. So this Friday, special stream, 7 p.m. UK time. It is going to be me talking about the coronavirus, talking about how this thing started, talking about how it's grown, how it got to the West, about the conspiracy theories. I say conspiracy theories in inverted commas because I think some of them are. I think some of them have got some validity to them. And I'm going to talk about all this and then give my opinion of what I think's happened and why I think the coronavirus is very dangerous to us as a people. And I think there'll be some interesting conclusions there. There'll be lots of data. You've seen those sort of live streams before. Please tune in Friday night at 7 p.m. Now, with that all said, it's time to hand it over to Jason. Jason, are you enjoying the lockdown? What have you been up to? Has the lockdown destroyed the after party, or will there be an after party this week? And if so, who's on top?
Absolutely has not destroyed the after party. It's been nothing but a party since the lockdown has started here in Virginia. I think the crazy anti-white Governor Ralph would like to keep it going forever and ever because the anti-whites are never going to miss an opportunity to take advantage of a crisis when it presents themselves to them, whether they engender it by way of anti-white ideology or their machinations behind the scenes, or it just happens to come out of the belly of the consumption of raw diseased meats in some ugly jungle on the other side of the world or at some point in the future in a state in the United States, Louisiana, perhaps, Mississippi or something. But yeah, things are going great as always. It's great here. Great to be with Truck and very grateful for his participation and joining the white positive sphere and all that he has and will do for white well-being. Thank you for all of that good work, young man. We are going to have as well a after party this week, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday. It won't be on the No White Guilt channel, though, because perhaps some of you all had noticed there haven't been any videos posted there over the past week. And the reason for that is that I received a strike from YouTube because on the 14th day of my quarantine, I dared to declare that I was coronavirus free. I didn't even say it. I just wrote it on the screen, coronavirus free, day 14 of the quarantine. And they gave me a strike for deceptive practices because who knows, maybe I'm actually wandering around the landscape with coronavirus, I guess. I immediately appealed and immediately was rejected. So the human being wouldn't have had an opportunity to even look into what my claim was. But I also want to point out that tomorrow I'm going to be with the magnificent lads over at the Absolute State of Britain at this time. So I guess they're live and you can find me over there on their show tomorrow. It's going to be a fantastic time. Splendid as always. It's great to be with all of you wonderful people here in the chat. And I look forward to the great conversation that we're going to have. And I'll pass it back to our leader, Mark Collett.
Well, thank you for that. And the live chat just crashed for me, so if I missed your messages, sorry, I just had to refresh it. So I am trying to reply to everyone as I always do. I've had a crazy few days, mainly because I went for a walk with my family the other day and we saw a little fledgling bird that was sort of fallen out of its nest. Now, you're meant to leave these birds where they are so the mother can collect them. But when we went on our walk the next day, the same bird was just trapped in the same place. So I've taken it upon myself to rescue this bird, and I've been feeding it dozens and dozens of worms per day with a pair of tweezers. And now it's kind of imprinted on me. And I've spent the afternoon sat in the garden with this little bird sat on me, feeding it mealworms and other grubs that I purchased from Pets at Home earlier today. So it's been a crazy few days, and I can tell you this, having both a small and increasingly mobile daughter and a rescue bird living in the house at the same time is probably the most stressful thing ever. And I've got to say, I think it's certainly taken a toll on my sanity. So let's introduce our wonderful guest and let him do some talking. This guy, you should all know him by now. He's called Harry. Now, he's only a young lad. He's 21. And he runs a show called The True UK Show, which is the worst written show ever. Because when I saw it, I thought it was TRUK. I was like, oh, my gosh, not another one. But it's not that. It's not that. The guy is a fabulous guy. I've actually met him in person. He came to our conference. He came to our conference last month. He's a superb, superb fella, a real up-and-comer, and he's been doing the rounds. I believe you are, well, you were on Jake's and Latte earlier today. I actually saw you. I was in the chat giving a fantastic account of yourself. Your channel's superb. But just talking about this man's channel and just talking about the fact that he came to the conference and he's a really nice guy doesn't really do him justice. You see, a lot of people like to sit at home. A lot of people like to troll on the internet. A lot of people like to gripe. A lot of people like to do things from the safety of their own home. But some people, some men, they like to get up and go into the real world and put it to these political parasites, say it to their faces. And this man did exactly that. This man went to one of these cringeworthy Turning Point UK events where he griped Daniel Hannan live in person. Now, the amazing thing about this was Turning Point UK thought they'd scored the victory. They thought what Daniel Hannan said was absolutely common sense and totally based until they got ratioed and had to disable likes and comments before removing the video at one point. Because this man isn't just an internet hero. This man isn't just a griper online. This man takes it into the real world. He's smart, he's young, he's an up-and-comer, and I really hope that he will introduce his show to us tonight and that we can get his subs just that little bit higher. So please, Harry, tell us all about yourself. Tell us about your channel. Tell us about your political journey in life. And, you know, shill for your channel, mate. Let's get those subs even higher.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. Thank you for all your kind words. Just one thing to clear up. It's the True K Show. Again, I like to reiterate. I don't know what I was thinking when I made the show. I don't know what I was thinking when I typed it that way. Dangerfield's already mugged me off plenty for typing my name that way. It's not the Tommy Robinson Show. I'm not a fan of his. However, I'd say as well, when I went to Falmouth with my mates, we had a bird. We were walking along the road and there was a bird on the floor. Poor bird. It was legless. I decided to pick it up and care for it. My mates were all mugging me off. My mates were all laughing at me, thinking I was a terrible person for taking this bird in. We eventually ended up putting it back on the street. So unfortunately, the reception you probably received for being a kind person, taking that poor bird in, has been much better received than I have. But yeah, I run a weekly, every weekday I do a live show from 6 p.m. to about 7, half 7. And I tend to focus on the issues that the youth are facing, cultural issues such as the decadence that has taken place within the music industry. I also talk about things like economics, politics, the current political discourse. I was talking about Anne-Marie Waters, as I'm sure we'll be discussing later on in the show. But yeah, I tend to focus mainly on the youth and how the youth have been abandoned and how we've been left to our own devices and how we've become victims of globalism. And for me, my political journey started, it was when I was always based growing up and I could never really pin my finger on things, on what it truly was. I was never into designer gear. I was never into modern music. I always found myself listening to classic rock and metal and things like that. I was raised on Pantera, bands like that. And then when I got to 15, I discovered Nigel Farage. I know he's cucked out. I know he is not as based as we once thought he was or what I thought he was. But he really inspired me into nationalism. And I was growing up on Nigel Farage compilations. You know how the pipeline goes. Before you know it, I was watching Paul Joseph Watson before the Brexit vote, challenging all my teachers. That my whole year basically abandoned me after I came out in support of Trump, and apart from a couple of friends. But then before you know it as well, I was watching On the Offensive. And then, of course, here we are now in fully fledged support of Patriotic Alternative. And yeah, trying to do my bit for British nationalism.
Well, that is a very, very good intro. And you are too a man who likes saving little birds. I hear that there was another man at one point in time who was very kind to animals. So I suppose, being kind to animals is a sign that we are all evil people. You know, the true love in this world today, the true compassion is from people who practice barbaric rituals like kosher slaughter or halal. Those people are welcomed, but those that save little birds and let them sit on their shoulders, we are the true monsters in today's society.
Terrible people.
Yeah, so, it's absolutely true. I even have a video of a bird that I saved, a little bird that I saved.
Do you know what? I should have bought... We've given him the stupidest name as well, but I should have bought him on the show and just had him perched on my shoulder for the duration of the show. But knowing that, we would have had some sort of disaster, like he'd flown off somewhere and crashed into a shelf or pooped on me or something, and that would have been that would have been terrible. Like, but saying that, when you've got a daughter under the age of one, dealing with copious amounts of poop is something you do on a regular basis anyway, so it's that. But look, let's get to the point. The point is, we are now hitting the fourth week in quarantine of the coronavirus. Now, I am doing a special stream on the coronavirus, but I ruffled a few feathers, and not just the feathers of a small bird, but the feathers of people who think that this debt-based, credit-based society is fantastic. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that the coronavirus lockdown is draconian, to say the least. I believe, and I'll be expanding on this on Friday, that the coronavirus should have been no threat to us here in Britain. I believe the government were negligent. The government are globalists. They're multiculturalists. They left the borders open. They allowed it to come here. When it did come here, they refused to quarantine people who had it initially, talking about human rights and the rights of the individual. So they let this get out of hand. And then once it was out of hand, I believe they used it to pass draconian laws to crack down on the population and to take our rights away. And I believe this has been done in the past. For example, the Patriot Act that was passed in the wake of 9/11. But now the big debate is, should we reopen the economy? Now, I'm going to throw out a few talking points and I'm going to throw it over to Harry and Jason. But my first worry is, if we throw open the economy, and many, many elderly white people contract the disease and die, what's going to happen? Well, we know what's going to happen. Those people are going to die. And then the government are going to say, well, 40,000 people died of the coronavirus. So we need 40,000 Nigerians and Somalians to take their place because that's how the economy works. We need a growing young population. The older dying, we must replace them with young, virile people from overseas. And as we know, Boris Johnson's big favorite at the moment is African migrants. He loves African migrants and he wants to see more of them coming to the UK. He said it himself. He said it in Africa when he went to Africa to tell them that he wanted them to come here. That, for me, is not an option. I think that's a bad thing. And I don't want to see the demographic swing go even further against us in one giant, mighty chunk with 40,000 men, mainly elderly white people, dying. Now, at the same point, I understand people have to work and people need to put food on the table. But what I'm saying about the current economic crisis is that this has been exacerbated massively because we live in a credit and debt-based economy. People don't just have their mortgage, bills, and food to pay out today. Everyone has thousands and thousands of pounds of credit card debts, loans, payday loans, hire purchase agreements, lease agreements on cars. And there was a guy on Jeremy Vine a few weeks ago, and he was a plumber. And he claimed he had £700 a week, not a month, a week. So that's £2,800 every 4 weeks, which isn't a calendar month. So it'd be slightly more per calendar month, going out on debt and credit repayments. This man needs to earn £700 a week just to stop himself going into the red. And that doesn't even put food on the table. That doesn't even put food on the table. And what I'm trying to say is not that we should all be locked up, not that we should all give away our liberties, but building an economy on usury, credit, and debt is a very, very shaky thing to do for everyone. And we could be heading into this massive, massive recession. And it's because our government have built our economy on the worst and most short-sighted building blocks possible, because creating free money and giving that free money to the people in society who have the least understanding of what is going on and the least or the lowest ability to repay that money is a disaster waiting to happen. And now 4 weeks in, this isn't a blip. This isn't a blip where people have dipped into their savings. This is a point where people are actually now sinking into this debt because they're not living to put food on the table. They're living to repay their creditors, to repay the people in charge of the internationalist banks, those pushing usury on our people. And I hope I made that clear. This wasn't saying I don't want people to go back out and earn a living. It wasn't saying I don't want people to go and put food on the table. But we have to look at what is powering our economy. And it is a credit-based economy. And I personally believe that we should base our economy on productive enterprise. So, Harry, what do you think to the lockdown? What do you think to this economic slump? How do you think this will turn out? And what would you like to see happen in the next few weeks and why?
I think, first of all, that this lockdown is disgraceful. You've got to understand the first principle is that nothing happens by accident. And the first thing is, why is it so suspicious that this virus is just mysteriously let in? I've been tracking this since the middle of January. And what is so funny is, how is it that a student can know about, not only know about the virus, but be tracking it and understanding everything? Yet the government, with all these different connections, whether it be in China or America, know nothing and just handily allow it to come into this country and spread. And on top of this, now we even see that flights are still coming into the UK. Now, another thing which is really, really concerned to me and very suspicious to me is the fact that we've had an impending financial crisis for many, many years now. I mean, the 2018 Deutsche Bank report, a bank which is critical to the survival of the EU financial system. Now, this bank said in its 2018 report that it was a very difficult year and this bank was going under. We've known this for many years now. And this looming financial crisis, for me, I just find it very coincidental that this coronavirus has come into play at the exact same time where a recession, all indicators have been leading towards a recession. Now, there's no reports in the mainstream media or on the news about the fact that last month there are discussions of $1.5 trillion being injected into Wall Street. And I also feel as well that the self-employed and small business is going to be drastically hit by this financial crisis. And what I mean by this is big business, the people that own all the capital, the people that rent everything to everyone. So you've also got things like the housing market, as you said rightly before, this economy of usury, it enslaves people through a perpetual cycle of working until you die. Now, why is it that you can no longer afford a house in the UK? Why is it that every single day you have to get up 9 to 5, work just so you avoid becoming in that red line, as you mentioned in your recent video? And it's to entrap us and enslave us. And with big business, they'll be able to survive this recession because they'll have had huge cash inflows and they'll have huge profits offshored for many years. They'll be able to survive this crash. Make no mistake about that, but it's small business and it's the self-employed that are going to be destroyed, completely atomized from this incoming recession. And what that means is there'll be a pure oligopolization of all markets and there'll be a complete stranglehold in all financial markets. And we're going to see further and further enslavement of indigenous populations. And why do they want the populations enslaved? Why is it that they want these people dependent on government? Well, the reason for this is purely for the fact that no one can ever stand up. If you speak out and you oppose the globalist agenda, the globalist orthodoxy, well, you can lose your job, you lose your friends, you can lose all sorts of basic necessities in this life. And from this, if you are to speak out, that means you can no longer have a job to afford to pay for rent, pay for anything. They purposely made you completely dependent on government, so you can never speak out on the very people that are putting the shackles on you. But that's just my personal opinion of what's happening.
Thank you. That's some very, very wise words, especially from such a young man. And I agree with what you're saying. I think we are facing an economic, well, as I said, when I say an economic collapse, the problem is the economy isn't built on anything but invented money and built on credit. So when you're calling it a collapse, it's not like anything that actually is real is in fact collapsing. For example, if these money lenders have just created money out of thin air, which the banks do, they actually create money. That's what fractional reserve banking is all about. That's what the economy does. It creates money, and then it lends that money that it's just created to people at extortionate rates of interest. And once it's lent out to people, it's essentially nothing being lent to someone at a rate of interest that they pay back. It's all a bubble just waiting to burst. What's your opinion on this, Jason? Do you think we should be getting back to work, or do you think that there is some sort of agenda here to crash the economy? Do you think the economy was built on sand? How do you think Trump is handling this in America?
Well, Donald, as always, is getting a lot of information from different directions. This is really a complex issue, but I think what we have to do, what we should be focused on, is the well-being of those who are immediately participating in the white positive sphere. And that will mean that a lot of these people have jobs. They have, unfortunately, like you pointed out, Mark, they have bills that they have to pay because they are living debt-based lives. And why are we living debt-based lives? Well, that goes back quite a little way. It goes all the way back to why Christianity and even Islam banned usury, and Judaism banned it when it was for a fellow Jew, but not so much when it was for everyone else. Usury happens to be the most profitable business on planet Earth, and it has a lot to do with catapulting a certain powerless tiny group to power in a way that you can't contend with them. And in a world where a person has to exchange currency of whatever type for needs and desires, he who prints the money is God. And that is how the currency, the economic structure, defeated religion eventually. And it is the reason why it reigns supreme today. So those who print the money are ultimately the mortal gods on our planet. And so that's a big situation. That's a big topic. And would take in and of itself, would take a long time to talk about. The power really resides in the hands of the lender, of the banker, whoever that individual is. And you become a slave because you get your dollar from them or your pound from them, and then you owe them the pound or the dollar plus the interest. Well, where does the interest come from if they haven't given you another dollar or pound? It comes out of your labor and is therefore slavery. Just real quickly before I get to the issue of whether or not we should open the markets and what that should look like. When it comes to the currency or fiat currency, these fiat currencies are based on something. It's based on force. It's based on violence. You will trade with it, or you will die, or at a minimum, you will go to jail. They have no problem elevating whatever it is that they decide to do to you to the point of death if you so refuse to use their currency or decide to print some up yourself that looks a little identical to it. Of course, in the past, it was everybody just sort of accepted that this sort of metal was something everybody wanted. And so therefore, we can use this as a medium of exchange. And I know there are some other little eccentricities of currency and economy that we won't bother to get into. But ultimately, this is based on force, which means that it is probably based more soundly than currency has ever been based, because being dead is a real motivator to use their currency. Having said that, what I said that we should do is that we should have rolling economy. In other words, if an area was grievously stricken by this disease, for example, like you have New York, where you have a great many people dying, the models, of course, were unbelievably wrong. well beyond the action that we took for social distancing. Donald just defunded the WHO briefly while they review it. They should be defunding forever these international organizations that are as anti-white as all hell. But nonetheless, WHO said in the beginning that there was, because, and this motivated by anti-whiteism, I would say, you know, we don't necessarily need to look to the possibility of some sort of grand secret conspiracy. We can just say that, of course, they're anti-white. And so naturally they would say that, something coming out of a non-white country is fine. Please go visit China, embrace the Chinese, kiss a Chinese person. We heard all of this across the West. And it's quite natural. It's predictable when you look at the world through the lens of going free and you see it for what it truly is. And so that is how in places like New York, where you had the mayor and governor saying, well, if you don't go out, you're some kind of anti-white slur. If you don't go to their festivals, if you don't go participate. And of course, now they have raging levels of SARS-CoV-2 going through their states as a consequence. Well, what should have happened was in those specific areas, they should have rolled back the economy to flatten, as they're saying, flatten the curve, which has been more than enough, as we can see. But in areas where there have been one case or no cases, none of that should have ever taken place. They shouldn't have rolled back the economy in any of these places. So now what they've done is they've printed trillions of dollars, and the dollars, of course, are easier to make than the labor, than the production. So now you have all of these dollars without labor and production, and you have, so it's not a matter so much. You have the liquidity. And by the way, these businesses that are going to receive these dollars from the United States government are getting these dollars with an infinite number of strings. You have to be as anti-white as the devil if you are going to take their dollars, and you damn well better take their dollars, because you'll go out of business if you don't. And a great many businesses are going out of business right now. You have to think about when they say, well, is X, Y, or Z needed or not? Is this industry something that is needed or not? Well, they might say this particular industry is needed, but this other industry is not. And they didn't couple. And this is because of the equality, where you end up without competence in the end. You certainly can't have excellence, as we say, in going free. You end up with some other business that supplies some element or part or larger of the essential business. And so that business then goes out of business, and they can't supply that. They can't supply the plastic. They can't supply the lids. They can't supply the metal. They can't supply whatever it might be, the CO2. They can't supply all of this because now they're going out of business. They're not an essential business. So now your essential businesses can't run. So finally, all of these equality hires are coming to say, oh my gosh, you know, it's actually all collapsing. And so the businesses that are going to take the money are going to have to be anti-white as all hell, and guarantee that those that are white owned are going to have to be repaying or hiring massive non-white staff in order to defer the payment. Non-white businesses are going to be receiving grants, so they're going to get your dollars. If you're in the United States, they're going to get your dollars free to continue business or to start new businesses. Rest assured in that as well. And as I say, we're going to see a continued collapse of the economy. So they really have this to face. If they don't open economy in the United States by the first of next month, you're going to see economic damage that is going to last for a very long time. And it's going to be, of course, even more so than it was before, debt-based in the hands of the lenders, which is not to say it's going to be a big leap from where it was. I mean, all of it already is debt-based. Nobody owns their business. That would be the dumbest thing to do economically, because you will be put out of business by those who are willing to work on someone else's dollars and be their debt slave. So it is a debt-based. The only way to compete, and this is the 200 IQ level of control that the anti-whites have set up from top down, is to take their poison so that you can do business and compete with those who are also taking their poison. It incentivizes, for intelligent people, these acts that are deleterious for our people and our civilization. It's one of the main things that we have to be talking about. It gets into the weeds and it's very mechanical, but it's an important thing to talk about. And now we see that there are states like Texas, like Pennsylvania, I'd like to see Virginia following soon where I am, that will say, look, we're going to open up the economy irrespective of what they're saying. Follow the CDC guidelines, which are 6 feet distance between customers, employees, where and when possible, as much as possible. And a recommendation to wear masks to slow the spread of the disease, which, thank God, has not materialized into the sort of numbers that they were worried about. And then, I don't know, maybe we'll see some intelligence where if hospitals begin to get glutted with SARS-CoV-2, maybe they'll roll back the economy a little bit, but I don't know. We're dealing with a lot of equality hires, which is a lot like looking at the LD classes at school, but I pass it back to Mark.
Well, there's some very interesting takes there, and as always, a lot to think about. I really like this show because one of the things is we do flip from topic to topic, but we never get a boring take. No one's ever been on this show and said anything that's dull or doesn't get the mind working. And I think what Jason said there made an awful, awful lot of sense. One final thing I'll say, though, before we move on to Anne-Marie Waters, is I find this really funny in that since I got involved in nationalism, a group of people have sat back and done nothing and said, there's no point doing anything yet. There's no point leafleting. There's no point campaigning. There's no point getting involved. There's no point being active in the nationalist sphere because we can't win until there's an economic collapse. We need an economic collapse. We need genuine hardship. And then nationalists will win. And now the same people are all saying, reopen the economy, reopen the economy, or there'll be a collapse. I'm like, weren't you the guy saying we could only win if the economy collapsed? And I just find it some people's take on this very, very perplexing, because I don't want an economic collapse. I don't want people to face undue hardship. I don't want people to be starving. I don't want people to lose their homes or their possessions. But I am basically saying that that's not because of coronavirus. It's because, if it happens, it's because the economy has been built on the wrong building blocks. It's been built on sand. The foundation of the economy isn't something real. It's not productivity. It's not producing goods and services. It's not building a production powerhouse like we used to be. It's all built on this giant credit bubble. And people say, well, what do you mean, Mark? Coronavirus will be the thing that kills it. Sort of. Coronavirus will be the actual event that causes the bubble to burst, but the bubble would always burst at some time. They always do. Something was going to bring it down, and coronavirus might be the happening, so to speak, that actually causes the dominoes to start falling. But the fact is, the dominoes were set up in that way in the first place. They were always going to fall sooner or later. The bubble was always going to burst. And whether it had been coronavirus, whether it had been some kind of other infectious disease, some other pandemic 5-10 years down the road, whether it had been a huge blip in foreign trade, whether it had just been a credit crunch, because we had a credit crunch, didn't we? Back just before 2010, we had a huge problem with people being given so much money and so many loans that they didn't have hope of repaying them. And then when enough people couldn't repay all at the same time, we had the credit crunch. This was always going to happen at some point. And I have said time and again, I said it in my book, I'm saying it now, we need productive enterprise. We need an economy that is based on producing actual goods and services, and an economy that is based on people working together. Not a tiny, and I'm not a communist, but a tiny minority of the people holding 90 something percent of the wealth in their hands and working for their own good and not the good of everybody is a bad thing. You have to think of your nation like a family of people. And if you're employing your sons or your cousins or your brothers, you might be the mastermind behind the company. And that does entitle you to a little bit more money. That does entitle you to taking a larger slice of the pie. But you wouldn't take 99% of the pie and give crumbs to your family. You would make sure they're looked after. And under a system of productive enterprise, not only do you base your economy on genuine productivity, but the bosses look after the workers, which means the workers want to look after the bosses. And everyone works together for the betterment of each other and the economy. At the moment, we are living in a society where debt slaves work themselves to the bone to repay money that they've been tricked into borrowing. And all of this lines the pockets of people who have so damn much that if they never earned anything again for the rest of their life, they wouldn't even notice. You're talking about people with so many millions, so many billions. And I'll say this as well. When these things happen, okay, and this is for all the naysayers, all the people who, you know, want to hate me for speaking out against making GDP a god. But when all these things happen, it's the super rich that walk away. Okay, last time the economy crashed, it didn't crash because of a pandemic. It crashed because they lent people too much money. And then the idiots, the buffoons, the cretins that crashed the banking system, not only did they get bailed out, but at the end of the year, they all took five-figure, six-figure, seven-figure bonuses. Now, in my head, that fried my head because I'm thinking to myself, anyone else in life who fails, absolutely fails, wouldn't bring in any money, would they? If I went into work and did terrible designs, if my designs were absolute trash and no one brought in any business from the designs that I'd produced for them, not only wouldn't I get a bonus, but I'd be out on my ear and I wouldn't be able to pay my bills at the end of the month. But these people fail in the most spectacular way, not only get bailed out, but then get a bonus for failure. The whole of this economy is built in a way that, for want of a better term, screws over you and I, so a tiny, tiny minority gets super rich no matter what they do. So it's like if you go to the casino, you need to roll double sixes to win anything. But that 1%, they go to the casino and it doesn't matter. If they throw double ones, somebody will give them their stake back. Yeah. Somebody will give them the stake back and say, oh, here, have some winnings anyway, mate. And that's how the odds are stacked against us. And that's when you know that the casino you're in is crooked and it's stacked against you and it's being run for the 1%. And I don't like the 1%. I know who the 1% are. And I know more than anything that they don't like us. And that's why I don't like what they're doing. I don't like their economic model. And I know it's short-termism. And when the system goes down eventually, it will burn more normal people than it burns super rich bankers. And we have, and just to follow this up before we end up going to Anne-Marie Waters, every time these people fail in any capacity, somebody is there to bail them out. And if you look at these company directors, I remember this quite vividly. When Debenhams failed recently, the guy who was running Debenhams and had run it into the ground and failed, when he walked away, he got a golden handshake for his failure. So when he failed, they said, oh, well, look, here's a nice big pay packet when you leave for failing. And I'm pretty positive he will have another job running another giant company now and somebody will have taken him on. Now, can you imagine? I mean, how does that even work? How do you crash a giant department store, cause it to go into administration, then get a bonus for doing that and be offered a top job running another giant retailer? How does that happen?
It's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. And on top of this as well, you've got to understand the man that orchestrated the bailing out of the banks within the UK, Gordon Brown, is now the exact same man who's now calling for a one world government, a temporary one world government, in order to quell all the problems that are going on. And furthermore from this, you made a great point earlier about how all of our main jobs, our primary and secondary sector jobs, have been offshore due to globalization to fatten the profits of these GDP lovers. And from this tertiary sectorization of our economy has meant that we don't know when the lockdown is going to end. And on top of this, because of the way that our economy is so service-based and not actually producing real goods and services like it used to be, real productivity, real manufacturing, established by protectionism through the free market. From this, everyone can now work at home. So there's no real justification for the lockdown to end. And this is another thing as well, was we keep seeing this lockdown. It's 3 weeks on top of 3 weeks. And I'm sure in 3 weeks' time, when the next lockdown is finished, they'll make the justification again. And I really don't think this virus is going to be going anywhere. Because if you think about it, you're still going to have people that are infected. Even if the lockdown ends in 3 weeks' time and everyone goes out, people are going to go mental. Everyone's going to be going out to pubs. Everyone's going to be going out to public places. And then they'll make the justification for another lockdown. So I think we're going to be seeing this perpetual cycle of freedom, lockdown for a good couple of months, if not years. And it sounds crazy for me to say this now, but again, we're going to be seeing the justification in the media in a couple of months' time for increased replacement migration. The argument they'll be making in a couple of months' time will be that when people have died off, when you've had a huge chunk of our population killed by this virus, we're going to need to take in more and more migrants, more and more refugees to rebuild the economy. We already saw it a couple of days ago within Sky News. They were calling, I can't remember who it exactly was, but they were calling for our agriculturally based economy to be replenished with all of these foreign workers. And it makes you wonder, is what is their agenda here? Why do they want all these migrants coming into the UK to rebuild the economy? They're tricking people hook, line, and sinker, and everyone's falling for it. No one is really caring about what's truly going on behind the scenes and what they're truly wanting from this virus outbreak. Everyone's too busy smashing their pots and pans outside their house for the cult of the NHS to really realize that they're going to justify extremely insidious things because of this virus.
Indeed. So, talking of insidious things, let's talk about some insidious things, shall we? Let's talk about insidious things. Can everyone see that? Can everyone see that? Can the chat see that? That's the question.
Yeah, it looks like it's coming through on the feed.
Right. Can you hear this when I play it?
No, you'll have to go back. You'll have to click in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen when you want to share this again. Right before you share it, it'll say share audio. It's tiny. It's down.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let me have a go at this, because I think the intro to this is quite amusing. So sorry about this, guys. So you go share screen.
Yeah.
Ah.
See it? Yes. Yeah, they have to fix that.
So can you hear this?
Right, good morning. I had absolutely no intention of making this video today.
Of course you had no intention of doing this.
I woke up this morning with so many messages and questions and comments.
She woke up with so many messages, questions and comments about Patriotic Alternative, she got angry.
All at the same time.
Sometimes you just have to speak. Sometimes you just have to say, right out, straight out, unprepared, say what you think. And the messages I'm getting are about Patriotic Alternative.
Oh, dear.
Now, my history of... Well, I don't have a history with Mark Colette.
I don't have any history with this woman. I want to categorically state that I have no history with this woman. She does look like she could do with a good man. I am not that particular good man. I don't think I'm man enough for that particular project. But let's hear what she has to say.
Never met him. But he has made videos about me, attacking me personally, saying all I need is a good man. Women shouldn't be leaders.
Yes, of course, I am. I am the man who believes that women shouldn't be leaders. And that's why I made Laura Towler the deputy leader of Patriotic Alternative. That's exactly why I'm the misogynistic hate machine that I am.
In other words, misogynistic, homophobic, little... spiteful little man who doesn't like women and has decided to make that his attack route rather than actually engage on policy. That's his.
You see, I want to engage on policy. I want to debate this woman. I want to debate her, and I want to debate her without using leftist terms. You see, you can tell when somebody's got no argument, because they use the buzzwords. They use all of the buzz terminology, don't they? He's misogynistic. He's hate-filled. He's homophobic. I mean, he literally sounds like Hope Not Hate wrote this script for her.
His preferred method, and that's absolutely fine if that's what he wants to do. I, on the other hand, have never launched a personal attack on anyone for their skin color, their sex, their sexuality, anything of the kind.
Lots of buzzwords there. I mean, is she looking for a government job? Or
she personally attacked you, and then she goes, she personally attacked you just before, and then she said she's not going to launch personal attacks. So what is she going on? She just contradicted herself in about 5 seconds.
It's immoral and stupid, but also it's not engaging in politics. I am here for politics. I am here to...
To be a career politician is what she's here for. We already know that, though, because her little Israel badge is always there, hidden in her breast pocket.
Offer real proposals. I have a real manifesto that is broader than let's throw black people out.
And here it goes. Here it goes. This is what she wants to reduce our policy to.
Of the country. So if you want a manifesto that is solely about throwing black people out of the country, then by all means, do go and join Patriotic Alternative. I am not your woman and this is not your party. I will never be that person. I will never...
Indeed, she will never be me. And that is something I'm very happy about.
Ever propose that? What is the proposal? Are we going to go around and round, physically round up black and Asian people, regardless if they were born here or not, and throw them out of the country? How will the world react to that? Will we ever be able to make a business deal?
Will we ever be able to make a business deal again? Will we? I mean, China imprisons people, tortures their prisoners, tortures animals, has concentration camps. They've got, is it the biggest economy in the world? Is it?
It's because it potentially
seem quite good at making trade deals, and they do some pretty horrific things.
Yes.
And Israel seems really good at doing trade deals, even though they've stolen numerous military and nuclear secrets from the US. So all of these countries that do things like this have great trade deals. What's more, Israel actually has a policy of paying African migrants to go home. They have a very similar repatriation policy, but less financially generous than the one that myself and Laura Towler actually promote. They do all right for trade, so why wouldn't we? Again, another ridiculous argument by somebody who claims that they want to be a politician but doesn't actually talk about genuine politics or even know the laws that are in place in the countries that she supports, because she's a big fan of Israel. She was actually on a stream earlier today where the guy had a giant Israeli flag in the background. So, but she doesn't seem to know that Israel has a repatriation policy, very similar, but less generous than the one that myself and Laura suggest. But let's hear some more.
Again, it could lead even to a declaration of war. It's pathetic and dangerous and immoral and disgusting. And I...
So having a policy that ensures that the indigenous people remain a majority in their own country is apparently immoral, according to this woman, and could cause a war. Yet I'm the one who, when Donald Trump wanted to start a war with Iran, railed against it, produced a video about it, and Patriotic Alternative were one of the few groups that held the line and said, we do not want any more foreign wars for Israel. Now, this woman here, who claims that we could spark a declaration of war by having the same policy as the country that she supports, actually wants to go to war for Israel and blow people up in Iran. So she wants to declare war on other sovereign states that don't pose us any threat whatsoever. But she's attacking myself and Laura Towler, who she denies the existence of because there's no females in Patriotic Alternative. She's saying that we're the warmongers. We're the ones that could lead to a declaration of war. I don't think I've ever seen such a disingenuous and stupid point ever made. But remember, she's the one who wants to be the career politician.
I will never engage in it. I will also never believe that the Jews are plotting in their basement to destroy everything I care about. It's stupid and it's pathetic. And as for my quote-unquote links to Israel, I have no links to Israel.
except for the ones in her manifesto. Her first party manifesto was so heavy on Israel and support for Israel that she had to redact most of it, because even her own plastic patriot fans were disgusted by it. So, and if you want to know the truth about that, the best person to ask is Dionne Moller, Secret Sources, because she will tell you the full truth about that.
I have never been to Israel. I have never engaged with the Israeli government. I have never had a penny.
Strangely, I've never been to Nazi Germany, but this woman says that, that I'm a Nazi. So, oh, well.
Do you hear a stuttering as well on that one? It's very telling of a liar. Crazy.
Apparently, I'm funded by Mossad. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. My links with Israel are quite simply that I don't hate it and I don't hate Jews. If that is what you are looking for, by all means, go to Patriotic Alternative. I have nothing to offer you if that is what you are looking for.
So if basically you don't want to be involved in foreign wars at the behest of a certain Middle Eastern nation, join Patriotic Alternative, because Anne-Marie Waters has nothing to offer you.
If you want a woman-hating, gay-hating, black people-hating, Asian-hating party, this is not it. We are sensible, reasonable, fair-minded people. And yes, I still want Britain to remain demographically a British majority. Yes, I do.
She couldn't bring herself to say English, Scottish, Irish or Welsh there. She couldn't actually bring herself to use the word white either. She just said British. Now, she knows, farewell, that Britain is a family of nations. It's a union. And ultimately, it is a state. It's not actually an ethnic group. But she couldn't bring herself to say indigenous people, native people. She couldn't even bring herself to say that. She stuttered through that bit, because what she's trying to say is, I want to appeal to all the people that are joining PA, but I don't really want to talk about it, because I'm really, really serving a different group which has a different opinion on this. And this is how you can tell when somebody's not particularly telling the truth. Listen to her stutter her way through this.
But that is completely, completely different from rounding up innocent people and throwing them out of the country.
So she strawmans again. She says that we want to round people up when we have a voluntary repatriation policy, except for those who are here illegally, who would be forced to leave. But the interesting thing about all of this is, not only does she misrepresent our policy, she claims she doesn't want us to become a minority, but has no idea of how she's going to stop that happening. She has no policy. That's essentially as bad as anyone in the establishment. That's as bad as people who say that they're going to do something. They have no idea of how they're going to do it. They have no willingness. This is no different to an establishment politician talking platitudes to people in order to prevent themselves losing support. And I'm going to just play a couple of bits, because she goes into an attack on the iconoclast here. And really, that's for him to answer, not me.
If that's really what you are after, if that is a proposal you take seriously, once again, I am not the person for you. We cannot do these things. We cannot go to Germany in the 1930s. We
don't have a time machine. We cannot go to Germany in the 1930s. And look at her shaking as she says this.
Can't. I won't. It's not who I am. I am not.
I can't. I won't. I'm not a Time Lord. I can't go back in time. Well done, Anne-Marie. That's the only thing you've said so far that I agree with. You can't time travel. Well done. Well done.
Not that person. I've seen as well that Iconoclast has made a video saying that Rishi Sunak shouldn't be Prime Minister because he's not British. Now, I don't like particularly Rishi Sunak. I think he's just another bloody banker. He's an establishment figure. I have no desire for this kind of leadership whatsoever. But what I won't attack him for is his skin colour. And the reasons for that are because A, it's immoral, B, it's just not who I am and I never will be. But C, Iconoclast, you realise that Jeremy Corbyn is the demographic you're looking for.
Well, I think we've had enough of watching her shake and fidget her way through that awkward 5-minute video. I'm going to hand this over to Harry now, but before I do, I want to say this. I have never seen somebody look so awkward delivering a message as I saw her. She was shaking, she was fidgeting, she was rocking back and forward. And throughout it all, she couldn't get her words out correctly, except for the bits where she was reading from the Hope Not Hate, anti-racist establishment script. That was shocking. But her final comment is very important. She goes on a bit more about the iconoclast, and that's really for him to answer, not me. But I will say this. Why should somebody who is not ethnically English, Irish, Scottish, or Welsh lead that group of people, lead those nations? Why does she believe that the iconoclast is wrong when he says that the people leading us, the people in our government, the people in charge of our nation should be of our stock? Why is that such a crime? Because if somebody actually believed that we shouldn't be replaced, as she claimed that she believes, but then even refuses to use the term indigenous or native or present any policy to stop that happening, why would she be so eager for the prime minister to be of a different ethnic group? I think that whole thing was very mixed up. And I hope you appreciate the fact that I've addressed this in the manner I have. But that woman is completely disingenuous. She is a coward. She will not debate me. And even in that brief section there, you can see none of her arguments stand up to scrutiny. Starting with you, Harry, what's your take on Anne-Marie Waters?
It's completely ridiculous. And as you said, there's not a single Christian within the senior cabinet of the Conservative government, this false dichotomy of Labour and Conservatives. It's completely false. On one hand, you've got the Conservatives who, over the last 10 years, have let in a net average 300,000 legal immigrants into the UK, not even including illegal immigrants. Okay. And on the other hand, you've got Jeremy Corbyn, who's naming his pronouns a week before the general election. So this is the choice for the British people at the moment. And as you said, her lies are just so disingenuous. I mean, right at the start, she's going on about how you're homophobic. What was it? Was it xenophobic? One of these buzzwords, okay?
I'm all of them, mate. I'm like the full pack.
Yeah, the full house.
Cards, haven't they? With a different thing on each card, and I'm the full house.
Little bingo list. She was ticking them off right as she was going on. As you said, right off the Hope Not Hate placard. But this is exactly what's crazy. And then 10 seconds later, she said, I would never personally attack someone. I'm not about that. I'm all about the ideas. Yeah, about 10 seconds previously, she personally attacks you because she's too cowardly to actually debate you on the philosophies of our arguments, of a true nationalist party's arguments, because she's scared. She knows that the truth is on our side. And I don't know what her audience she's appealing to. I mean, who are you actually appealing to? Your core audience are nationalists. And even if they're too afraid to actually speak out their mind and become true ethno-nationalists or ethnic nationalists, they will be. They just don't know they are yet. And that's what Patriotic Alternative is. And that's what Patriotic Alternative is a home for. And she is completely rejecting her true core voter base. Do you think she's going to inspire these people by using all these buzzwords? No. And as you said quite rightly, all the psychological tips in there were very telling. The way she stutters and stumbles over saying, oh, I've never taken a penny over Israel. All right. Yeah. Yeah, nice one. Yeah, your body language is very telling there. And on top of this, the way she bashes the iconoclast and the way she just bashes you and the party, the way she said, oh, yeah, I just woke up this one morning and I just had loads of emails about Patriotic Alternative. She'd have been hearing about us for months and months and months. And on top of this, isn't it very, very funny that this also comes at the time where you've got Team Tommy attacking us? You've got all these different groups conspiring with each other to take us out. Well, I'm sorry, Patriotic Alternative is the only way forward. And the reason why you're so mad, the reason why you felt the need to make this video, and on top of this, the reason why you got ratioed as hard as you did, is because the people of Britain, the indigenous British people, are on our side, and they're not on yours, and they're no longer willing to support grifting parties that just take your donations and see nothing in return.
Well said. I think that young Harry here just metaphorically trucked over Anne. I think, Mark, did you want to show this before I give my thoughts?
I just was having this as an accompaniment, really. I don't even know what I'm doing. God, I'm on the company's house website. What am I on to here? EDL, English Defence League Limited, company number 076-78022. Follow this company. No, thanks. Just want to have a quick look at your filings. Filing histories. Do-do-do-do-do. Ooh, what happened on the 25th of July, 2011? The company changed its name. Company name change. Shall we have a look at what the English Defence League changed their name to? Shall we have a look? Do you want to look, Harry?
Yes, please. I'd love to find out what they changed their name to.
Does the audience want to look? Is the audience ready for this? Are we all singing Tommy Tommy? Because Tommy was running the EDL at this point. Tommy Tommy. What did you change the name to, Tommy? Ooh, do 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 do. So going down here, the new name. Oh, the new name? The English and Jewish Defence League, EDL Limited. What? Am I reading that right? The English and Jewish Defence League? Oh dear, and here's the certificate to prove it. Filed copy, certificate for incorporation on name, on change of name. There it is. The Registrar of Companies for England and Wales hereby certifies that under the Companies Act 2006, the English Defence League, EDL Limited, a company incorporated as private limited by shares, having its registered office situated in England/Wales, has changed its name to the English and Jewish Defence League, EDL Limited, given at Companies House on the 25th of July 2011. And people thought this was a joke, you see. I do like a good joke, but this is no April Fools. The only April Fools are the ones still following these jokers. Because I can tell you now, if you're being led round by the nose by these people, you are being taken for by a fool. Even organizations that they set up in the name of our ethnic group, the English, well, not if you're Scottish, Welsh or Irish, but I'm English, they still have to put that little bit on the end. There you go. So when people said the Shalom thing was a big shock, nah, the Shalom thing was probably 9 or 10 years in the making. This here, my friends, is who they really stand for. Jason, please give your say now. Sorry to interrupt you, but I thought now was a good time just to push this little bit of information out.
Well, what was the, before I speak to Anne, what exactly is that connection there?
Oh, it's just another example of these people say they've got no connection with Israel. These people have got no connection. They're not shills. They're just for the English people, but they've got no problem with a particular tribe. But then you see that. And it's all part of the same Sivnat nonsense, kosher certified nationalism.
Yeah, it sure is. What a surprise. I mean, that never happens, that you end up finding out that these folks actually have a certain group behind them pushing their anti-white agenda through some sort of puppet out in people's faces. The first thing that struck me about Anne, I think, is that I don't know if she's striving to be some sort of leader or politician or whatever it might be, but you were watching how she would handle this is a little bit of a couple of messages that she received, and she became hysterical. How would she act if she were in some sort of leadership role and the pressure was actually turned on? I think you have just seen, if you have ever had to hire anybody, exactly the kind of person that you would not want in a leadership role, who comes undone, who comes unglued, who comes off the hinges the moment that a little bit of pressure gets turned up. She just demonstrated it for everyone. She also demonstrated when a person resorts to anti-white slurs, you're seeing who and what they really are when they begin this villainy signaling. So all of the rest of what she says is just affected for your benefit. If you are the dupe that ends up falling for her, and if you have been duped by her, then it's not your fault. Get redeemed. Come out of that haze. Come out of that fog of war. Come to something healthy. Because she just revealed by the use of all that villainy signaling that what is beneath her skin is virulent anti-whiteism. Everything else is just for your benefit, is just pretext. The other thing I want to say is this she mentions here about this, because of their skin color, because of their skin. That, of course, is more villainy signaling. And race is not skin deep. To even say so is supremely childish. It's straw manning. And it is another example of anti-whiteism beneath her skin. And finally, I'll just say this so we can keep moving along, is she said, I think several times, something to the effects of, I am not your woman. And I just have to say that that would be the sweetest sound that any man has ever heard. Pass it back.
Yes, indeed, indeed. The only good thing she proclaimed during that 5 minute shuffling, stuttering nonsense that she is not indeed our woman. Thank you. Well, let's go over to the super chats. The vile delinquent gave $3. Thank you very much. He said, Mark, I wish I could stay for the stream, but I'm at work. Huge respect for you, though. Huge respect for you. Question, when can we see you versus Destiny on the kill stream? I suppose I'd be happy to debate a leftist like Destiny, although technically I think those debates aren't as interesting as, say, debating a Civnet or somebody that you can actually pull apart and win over their support. You see, people who support Destiny, because Destiny believes in all kinds of sickening things. I think he was the guy who said he needed to see more data on whether paedophilia damaged children. He's absolutely, I think that was him. Another leftist said that, but I'll leave it was him. If it wasn't him, my apologies, I'm wrong. This is just an allegation. I'm not saying he definitely did. I think it was him. But you could never, anyone that believes that that's a good stance to take will never be won over to us. So I'd be happy to debate a leftist. Talking with people like that, you're never going to win over their fans. And it's more of sort of titillation. Whereas I'd be more happy to debate somebody like Anne-Marie Waters, because I think her supporters are on the obviously coming over to us. That's why she's so angry. And I would like more of them to come over to us. And I would like to show her up. And if she's not a total coward, she will debate me. Timmy Bobinson gave $3. Thank you very much. He said, Harry, on behalf of the ladies in the chat, is there a Mrs. Harry?
No. At the moment, you know, I'm withholding my celibacy. I'm saving it in order to boost up my testosterone, make sure I can keep on fighting for nationalism. You know, if the right woman comes along, then so be it. But at the minute, just focusing on the old nationalism, saving our country, saving the indigenous Brits.
Thank you. Daniel Lewis gave £30. Thank you very much. Generous donation, but no comment. Grim Fan gave $10. Thank you very much. He said, many thanks to PWR and all of the Patriotic Movement's content creators for keeping us locked in company and energizing our spirits in these strange and interesting times. Thank you. Marty Morosley gave £5. Thank you very much. He said, Mark, if or rather when PA grows into a sizable, important organization, do you foresee any collaboration with other European dissident right groups? If so, would you care to name? I do, but they would all have to be people who are on the same wavelength as us. We don't want to be teaming up with the Civnats. I'm sure that will happen, but no names at the moment. Rum Imurma gave $5. Thank you for the donation and for the difficult name to pronounce. He said, this movement is so important for our people. I'm so very grateful to you all for the effort and the passion you continuously apply. Thank you. Thank you very much, my friend. Celtic Advocate gave £3. He said, evening, lads. I hope you're all well. What are your thoughts on the likelihood of infiltrators trying to undermine and tarnish the movement? How can we defend ourselves against this? Yes, people will infiltrate. Yes, people will act stupidly. But my general view of this is most people who do stupid things do them, not necessarily because they're infiltrators, but just because they're the sort of people we wouldn't want to attract. Now, all parties have the kind of people involved that they don't want to attract. It's just other parties do a better job about keeping those people out of the limelight because they have codes of conduct. And I talked about this at the first PA conference. One thing that we are doing to prevent that kind of negativity seep into the movement is we have a code of conduct, and anyone that breaks that will be asked to leave our meetings. You can read that code of conduct if you email me or if you've previously received emails from me about attending events. So we do have that under control, and anyone acting up, whether they're an infiltrator or not, will just be asked to leave. And we're certainly not that desperate for, we're not desperate for bums on seats. So if somebody wants to come and act like a disgrace, they can get on the next bus home or catch a cab or whatever. I don't mind. Having one less person at a meeting is a good thing if that one person was going to be the guy that ruined it for everyone there. St. Harrison gave £5. Great show as ever. The Nationalist video competition entries will be out on Friday night on my channel. Ready for everyone's votes. Thank you. All of a high standard as well, which is a great to see and will definitely help the movement. Thank you, my friend. I will share that on my Telegram and Twitter for you. Robin Ulanov gave $10. Have a good day, everyone. Thank you very much. You too. Blunderbuss gave $25. Where were the Easter memes of Drumpf building a big, beautiful cross so he could crucify the Wu flu and making China pay for the cross? I think Donald Trump has been a bit at sea all this, so no victorious memes for him. Blunderbuss gave another $10. Very generous. Thank you very much. He said, looks like Ramsey Paul deleted every video with Tina Vilk in there. Yeah. What do you think to all this? Ramsey Paul seems to have gone totally crazy. At one point, he used to come on this show. He made some of the edgiest jokes. He advocated for an ethno state. He talked of our people. He worked with Tina Veek. She's a wonderful woman, by the way. I really like her. She's been a guest on this show. I've met her in person. She's just as lovely in person as she is on the show. And now he seems to be making a break with anyone who describes themselves as an ethno-nationalist or has any interest in preserving people of European descent. What does Harry and Jason think of Ramsey Paul's sort of turnaround? Has he been contacted by the FBI, or has he been lent on by somebody? I'm not saying that to denigrate the man. I don't know. But he seems to be acting like somebody's lent on him or paid him a visit.
I think it is very strange with lots of people. They always seem to want to associate themselves with certain people. But this is the message to all the grifters. All right. If they censor us and they ban us and they do all this, don't think they're not going to come for you at the end of it. Are you not aligning with us now? It's going to come back to bite you in the future. So you can grift as much as you want now. But in the future, you're going to feel the wrath of all these globalists. It doesn't matter how much you cuck out in order to maintain your financial status. The more you grift, the more damage it's going to do you in the long run. So that's all I have to say on that matter.
I found this really curious. I think we all love Tina. And I think that Ramsey is keeping this a private, whatever happened between the two of them. But it's an interesting decision on several layers. And I don't know exactly what's motivating it. To get rid of Tina as his co-host, and then to adopt someone, Styx, who has some very different opinions about, I think, the well-being of white people. And I think, as far as I know, I think he would be okay if white people, you know, okay with it if white people survived. But I don't know that necessarily is a real motivator for him. And then the other decision is for him to become a sidekick to Ramsey Paul. I think Ramsey has 40,000 or 50,000 subscribers, and Styx, all of his channels put together. I know there's some overlap, but we're talking about hundreds of thousands. So how does he end up becoming a sidekick to Ramsey Paul, and Ramsey Paul gets rid of Tina for Styx? It all might be completely legitimate, and these people might all be wonderful people. I don't know, but it is something I'm surprised that Ramsey, this what you just shared, that deleted all of the videos that he had with Tina. That is indeed, distressing.
I want to make this really clear. I really liked Ramsey Paul. This isn't some sort of bitterness. I've been very slow. I wouldn't have talked about this unless a question had been asked, but I honor the questions that are asked. I've stayed out of this on Twitter. People have noticed I've not got involved in the spat. I found the guy very amusing, very engaging. We've had him on several times. We first had him on when this was on Tara McCarthy's channel. We've had him on PWR. We've had him on Tutar. I like the guy. He was part of I think he was even part of the 100th show special. He was a regular on Red Ice. He'd been on numerous things. And all of a sudden, just changed. And I'm sad to see that. You know, I don't want to see good people leave, but I do find it odd, and I'll tell you why. And this will be the last thing that we say on this. Oh, unless somebody wants to add to it, of course. I don't want to be rude to the guest or to Jason. If they want to add to this, please do, actually. I can understand that there's a logical path people take through nationalism. I can understand how you can start off in the Conservative Party and then realise that UKIP are talking some sense about immigration, and then realise when you're in UKIP that actually immigration is threatening our demographics. And before you know where you are, you've transferred from one thing to the other, and you end up with PA and say, I have now found the truth. You know, you start off listening to Nigel Farage and you end up listening to the Dr. David Duke show. There's a path. But how do you go from listening to the Dr. David Duke show and learning the big truths and then end up going back to the CivNat playpen of nonsense. I don't understand how it works that way, because I can understand how you can learn more truths, but I can't understand how you can forget truths and go back and put the blinkers back on it. It's like the guy in The Matrix, Cypher, the bad guy, who it was Cypher, wasn't it, who said that he just wanted to forget. He wished he'd taken the blue pill. He wanted to go back because he believed that ignorance was bliss. And as he sat there chewing his steak with the agents, as he was informing on the group, I'm not saying Ramsay Paul's an informant, I'm talking about The Matrix, he bit the steak and he said, I know the steak isn't real. I know that it's just computer code, but it tastes delicious and ignorance is bliss. And I wonder if that is why Ramsay changed. So you were going to say something about this, Harry.
I was just going to say, yeah, the only thing that makes any logistical sense is a financial incentive. We all know that as soon as you become more and more based, your platforms get shut down, your financial donation accounts get shut down. So the only logical reason in which he would cuck out more to left, aligning himself more on that right side of the Overton window, is so that he can support himself financially better and not have to worry about potentially getting deplatformed off one of these financial accounts. So I think that's the only reason that makes sense for someone wanting to grift, either that or they want to cement their name in, or they want to further their career, perhaps getting on Fox News, shows like this, perhaps breaching the mainstream media. I think there is an incentive for people. I think there are certain people on the alt-right who are more base than they let off. And you can argue that Woz argued in his speech about Hope Not Hate that the reason for this is to garner more mainstream media attention. They know that their role in the movement is to be part of that pipeline and move people on towards us. However, as you said, yeah, it is very strange that someone can become based and then debasify themselves because they think that's the correct opinion. Very strange indeed.
I'll very briefly add that we'll know whether Ramsay Paul has remained Ramsay Paul if he has folks like Mark and myself back on his show, even though he's gotten rid of Tina, and if he'll be willing to appear here. If he doesn't, then we'll know that there has been some more fundamental changes.
Well, I don't think I'll be getting an invite, but who knows? Who knows? Stephen Ben Bob gave $5. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, only recently found Harry's channel. This is for Harry, this one. And the content that he produces is way above his young years. P.S. A couple of years ago, I cared for a baby hedgehog, which I found in a distressed state in my back garden. He, she made a full recovery. Well done, Steve. I found a baby hedgehog who was distressed once, and we took it to a very kindly lady who cares for hedgehogs, and he made a full recovery too. I can't remember what I called him. I think it was Mr. Spikey or something. It wasn't the best name. We called our little bird that we've saved. We've called him Rodney. I don't come up with the names in this house. My girlfriend comes up with the names, and she tries to come up with the most amusing names. So he's called Rodney. He looks particularly angry. I might share a picture if people want to see him. Harry, do you want to respond to Stephen Ben Bob?
Yeah, I must say Rodney is a shocking name, but yeah, fair play. What a name. I came back from a night out once with my mates a couple of months ago. We just found a hedgehog just lying about, crawling about in the kitchen. So seems this hedgehog theme seems to be reoccurring with us. But yeah, thank you very much. Great that you enjoy my content. Thank you very much for those kind words.
I'll briefly say thank you for that, Harry, as Mark is reading something, that this Sonic the Hedgehog movie, do not take your children to watch this, it is vehemently anti-white. Stay away from the movie.
I have not seen the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I am just looking for the picture of the little birdie so I can show it to you. Let me see if I can do this. I know people are going to be saying in the chat, boomer tech. Every time I do something slowly on the computer, it's the same in the chat. I didn't go to see the Sonic the Hedgehog movie because I'm a Nintendo fan, which means I hate everything to do with Sega. Because I'm like the computer gaming bigot. You know, very partisan. Right, let's bring up this little birdie. And he looks really angry, but in a funny way. Let's see what we can do. Where's the share button again? Let's have a look. There's the bird.
Aww. Oh, beautiful.
Does anyone know what that bird is?
It's hard to say when they're chicks like that because their plumage is is going to change, but maybe somebody is familiar with it in the UK.
Do you know, I dug up 30 worms for him the other day. 30 worms.
Looks like he's had a worm too many there.
Is he a big worm?
He's quite plump. I went and I bought him some more. I think they're called Morio worms, wax worms, and meal worms. I've got him like, oh, he's a starling. He's a starling. Oh, wow.
Is it a starling?
Yeah. People are saying it's a starling. That's what the lady at the bird care center said when I sent her the picture. Yeah, he's a starling. And people are saying that he's a chubby boy. He is. But yeah, I think he is. Yeah. That's what she said. She said he was a starling. Rodney the starling. There he is. There is a picture of me holding him. But unfortunately, it's from a funny angle and it looks a bit strange. But if he's still alive and still with us next week, I will definitely bring him on the show and perch him on my shoulder, because he does like he sits on my hand for like ages at a time. So, yes. Anyway, that is enough of my little fluffy boy. Right. Next question. Port Film Co-op gave $3. Talk Talk's The Spirit of Eden isn't just a seminal post-rock album. It's an important piece of Christian art. Track down this British masterpiece and listen to it in entirety. R.I.P. Mark Hollis. Well, thank you very much. Marty Morosley gave $10. Mark, talking of the economy, I created a small nationalist investment fund as a side project where I invest my own money and use the dividends and returns to donate to nationalists such as yourself. One small way of taking our economy back if anyone is interested. He's given a Twitter link. So I am going to post that in the chat. That's in the chat now. So if you want to go and look at his investment project, there you go. JC Starling gave $3. Hail, my brothers. Hail, Patriotic Alternative. Thank you very much. Marty Morosi gave another $3. Thank you very much. Lads, don't forget to mention Anne-Marie Waters' team disabled the comments on our Hatchet Job video, then reinstated them, but started deleting the ones they didn't like. Same for her subsequent streams. Yeah, you see, What is that? These people are they're all at these free speech rallies. They're all at these free speech rallies, but then they delete legitimate comments. Now, we delete comments where people are either swearing, threatening violence, talking about illegality, but we don't delete legitimate comments. But this is, they always do this. What's your thoughts about how quick they are to shut down any freedom of speech or genuine discussion? Harry, tell us what you think, mate.
It's completely horrific. And you saw the exact same thing with Turning Point UK when they put out that video smearing my name. They call me a white nationalist. I know I am white. I am a nationalist. Those two things may go hand in hand. However, the reason they did this is to smear my name and completely try and ruin my life. And then when they got ratioed, when thankfully to this amazing community, everyone swarmed in, completely ratioed them and let them know what they thought in the comments. They turned off the like to dislike ratio. They turned off the comments. They then deleted the video. They then re-uploaded the video calling me a groiper. And then they cut out my response to Dan Hannan, where I was critical of him talking about Ash Sarkar's joke about white demographic replacement. And then furthermore, they then remove the like to dislike ratio. They then remove comments. So it's very strange that these people who were such advocates supposedly for freedom of speech, as soon as they receive a bit of that freedom of speech, as soon as they receive a bit of criticism, are more than hasty to shut down the comment section. And we saw the exact same thing with Anne-Marie Waters. As soon as people let her know that no longer are they going to vote and support a grifting party that are going to use all these different buzzwords, they're going to smear. And all Anne-Marie Waters is a leftist who doesn't like Islam. She's a globalist who doesn't like Islam. And furthermore from this is why she has to delete the comments. And from this as well, she's talking about how, I don't believe that the UK should become a indigenous minority. Well, what are you going to do about it? There's plenty of comments in the comment section telling you that Patriotic Alternative are going to instate policies of voluntary repatriation. But it seems that you don't really want to be hearing this. So it is really, really crazy that these supposed free speech advocates really don't like freedom of speech when it hurts them.
Well, you said something else here. I mean, you have the hypocrisy, easy to talk about, sort of a that's really clear. It's salient. The other thing that it reveals to me is that these people are unintelligent, because in the game of chess, that is life, that is politics, that is the fight for our survival and the recapture of our destiny. You cannot take positions that position you to lose most likely in a argument down the road. And that is what these Sibnats do all the time when they say free speech, free speech. They have positioned themselves to lose the argument the moment they then curtail speech. So it speaks to their strategic inability to see the playing field for what it is. And that, of course, is a function of IQ. Pass it back.
Thank you very much. Yehuda Finkelstein gave $10 and said, it's not well known, but Tommy Robinson is actually my cousin and his original name is Tamar Rabinovitz. Thank you very much. Oh, this has been a crazy ride. Right? This has been a crazy ride. Auto Nature gave through and said, these Civ globs like T.R. Sargon and Anne-Marie Waters are truly disgusting people, utterly repugnant, disingenuous traitors. At least communists are open about who they are. God bless Mark, Jason, and hello, Harry. Thank you. Gene White gave £3. Anne-Marie Waters needs to debate Laura or Mark. Sivnats need to stop attacking us, then running away. It's lame and pathetic. Agreed. Simon Coates, please debate Anne-Marie Waters, but for God's sake, please don't mass debate her. Yeah, it's very funny, Simon. it's a wild ride. It's a wild ride. All we need is Lou Duva to give a final crazy question. Unknown Californian gave $3. Thank you, my friend. He said, the rift with Tina began with Rams going all in on the CV19 not being a big deal. She had disagreed, but you could tell Ramsey was very annoyed. Unknown Californian then gave another $3. Thank you very much. He said, I believe PA in Europe will lead the way to nationalism. I can't envision the US being the leader in this. It will be good for the US to get their boot off Europe's back. Thank you. And finally, William Harris gave $20 and said, keep up the great work. Well, thank you for the donation, William, and thank you for the kind words. So we're on to the non-paid questions. You can still donate if you wish, and the link to that will be in the chat shortly. However, we do have non-paid questions. And the first question, which is the most voted, is in fact three questions. That's a little bit cheeky. By making your one question three questions that, and then getting it voted up, you have somewhat dominated discussion. So three questions. This is from Iron Blood. He says, what do you guys think of California declaring independence? So that's the first question. I think California declaring independence would be great for the US because it would be a massive demographic boost for the US. And it's also a very poisonous liberal state that should be left to float away and sink or swim on its own liberal merits. What do you guys think of California declaring itself independent?
I think it'd be a great case study for the future to prove why demographic change is not a good thing for the US. We already see that the mess that is curtailed in California and, you know, it's blue state, completely liberalized state, and all these problems that seem to occur in the places which have the biggest demographic shift keep on proving us right. And we've seen it in London. We've seen it in Bradford. We've seen it in Oldham. We've seen it in South Manchester. How many more case studies do we need worldwide to see that if this demographic change keeps on taking place in the UK, it's not going to be any good for us? I mean, I think it would be, again, a great thing when they declare independence.
It's impossible. So I'll just leave it at that.
I said when, yeah.
His second question, which is more from me, but he says, Nick Griffin calling patriotic alternative hopeless and saying politics aren't an option. Okay, he went on a stream last night with Simon Harris and Horace and said patriotic alternative was hopeless. Now, firstly, I always look at what people say. When people say I'm doing something wrong, I initially look at what they're doing. Because if I was to say somebody is doing something wrong, I would always put forward an alternative. And somebody used to say to me, never approach me with a problem, always approach me with a solution. So if you know something's going wrong, don't just come to me and complain about it. Come to me and say, this is going wrong, but I've got an idea to put it right. Now, okay, it's everybody's right to think things will fail or succeed. He's right. If he thinks that we are going to fail, okay, that's up to him. But what's he putting forward? Well, he's putting forward a threefold. What I can see, his message is threefold. Firstly, there is no hope. Britain is already lost. Now, I fundamentally disagree with that. And I fundamentally disagree with black-pilling people. Now, if anyone's familiar with the First World War and how the Germans lost the First World War, it's quite interesting because the Germans at one point looked like they were going to win. They achieved victory in the East. Russia sued for peace. There was a treaty which was very generous towards the Germans and very, very harsh towards the Russians. And it freed up around a million, I believe it's around a million German troops. If I'm wrong on that number, please tell me. But there's about a million German troops freed up. And they then moved to the Western Front. At this point, the Allies were quite nervous that the Germans, with the wind behind them, with an extra million troops on the Western Front, could potentially wrap the war up very quickly. And it might be unwinnable for the Allies. Obviously, the Germans didn't win. Now, one of the reasons, not all of the reasons, but one of the reasons that was put forward was the stab in the back. And this was that even though the Germans were doing well, even though the Germans had this extra million troops at their disposal, back at home, there was a Marxist revolution taking place. People were striking in the factories. There was talk that the war was lost. People were getting letters from their sweethearts saying, please come home, please desert, just leave it, you've lost. People here don't want the war. And it was at the time termed the stab in the back. Okay. And the fact is, the stab in the back wasn't the sole reason that Germany lost the war, but it was very, very defeatist and it undermined morale. Now, I think, so for the first part, he talks defeatism. And that to me is terrible because I deal with many people on a daily basis who are depressed, who are down in the dumps, and telling those people that they've already lost isn't going to help those people. We need hope. Only he is lost who gives himself up for lost. Okay? And the fact of the matter is, that is something that we should never do. We should never give up hope and we should never be defeatist. But then he says, but there is some hope, but the hope is that we move to Eastern Europe and then our children carry on our fight and then there's a reconquest of Britain in 150 to 200 years' time. Now, that's, to me, pie in the sky. And it's pie in the sky. And it's also kicking the whole debate into the long grass. It's taking away agency from people today, which is, again, is dangerous. And also it means that he can never be disproved. So he's putting forward a scheme that can never sink or swim because we'll never know. None of us alive today will see whether his plan comes into fruition. But if that is genuinely his plan, that we should all move to Eastern Europe, breed, tell our children, raise our children in sort of some militaristic compounds, they can be ready in 150 to 200 years to retake Britain. If he believes that, wonderful. But to me, it's a fantasy. So that's his first thing. First thing is defeatism. The second thing is a pie in the sky project. But how does he think we're going to achieve this pie in the sky project? Let's look at the nuts and bolts. Well, he's running a group called the Knights Templars. And the Knights Templars is a group that's selling knighthoods for $890. Okay, so he's defeatist. He's got a pie in the sky project that we'll never know whether it can be a success or not because it will never be alive. And the only way to help that pie in the sky project is to buy a knighthood for $890 or to go to their armory and buy a Templar sword and all of this guff. Now, if people want to do that, and I've said this before, if people want to do that and want to indulge him in this, that is up to them. I am happy for them to do that. It's your money. I can find lots better things to spend $890 on. And I'm certainly not suggesting that anyone in the chat gives me $890. There's not even a donate button on the PA website. The PA website doesn't have a donate button. I'm not asking for your money. I appreciate donations. I take them gratefully. They all help. I do have costs. However, I have never shilled for them. And I have never sold you or tried to sell you something that isn't real. I've never said to you guys, you can buy this snake oil from me and it'll make your life better. But when I look at all of that and then I see him calling our project hopeless, I think to myself, does he have a better solution? No. Why shouldn't we engage in politics? I've never called this a political party. I've always said it's a community-based political movement that will advance our cause through community building, the civil rights struggle, and also politically through the political system when it is a benefit for us to do so. I don't see why I don't see why that is hopeless. In fact, when I've been to our conferences, I've been to our camps, I've been to our events, I'm on these streams, I see a lot of hope. And if he wants, if he's so desperate, and he genuinely believes that selling fake knighthoods are going to save our people, good luck to him. Good luck to him. He can do that. It's up to him. He can get on with it. But if he's so confident that that is a solution and it's going to work, why is he so desperate to take the wind out of our sails and spread so much defeatism? I just find the whole thing disingenuous and bizarre. And as I said, if you want to buy one of these knighthoods, you can. I don't. I won't be. And I suggest people don't give the $890 to me. Spend it on yourself. Buy yourself something nice. You'll be better off for it. Because $890 for a fake knighthood, a cape and a Frank Spencer beret is a waste of your money. And I mean that genuinely. Please, you know, let's be sensible. If we can't get the British public to support us and occasionally put a little cross in a box at election time, we're not getting them to sell their house and move their family and all their possessions to Hungary and become medieval knights in some compound run by him wearing a cape and a beret. It ain't happening, guys. And I get asked this question every week. I say I'll answer all the questions the top asked one. People want an answer. There's my answer. You know, Harry, your thoughts, and then Jason.
I think it's ridiculous. I saw that. Wait, is my mic muted? No, we're all good. I saw that response yesterday. It was so Blackpool. It's so sad to see our community just falter after you just launched Blackpool after Blackpool. If the situation was hopeless, these people's propaganda would be completely unnecessary. We've still got a chance in this. We've still got a hope in this. And for this guy who's been hiding the way for years and years and years, and the same guy who single-handedly almost ruined the BNP and nationalism through his disastrous Question Time performance, when he tried to make nice with the establishment and pretend to be someone who he wasn't. After this disastrous performance, for him to hide away for years and years and years, and now try and come back after a cohesive, coherent movement, which is growing in momentum, I think it's ridiculous. And if he seriously thinks, as well as you said, that all these young lads are suddenly going to take up this cringy Templar outfit, which is what, £800? You can get it for £5 on Wish or Amazon, some Halloween Templar costume if you really tried. If he seriously thinks people are going to spend all this money, abandon their families, abandon their homes, abandon their homeland, okay? We're British. We're European. We don't give up. We don't just abandon our homelands. We don't just abandon our place. That's a last resort strategy. I think he's really overestimated, really overshot how far behind we are. And for him to also say that you can't go down the electoral route, you can't go down the electoral route, it's not our priority at this point. The priority of Patriotic Alternative is to build a community, to collectivize. And for this guy to come in and try and demonize our movement and say it's going to fail and falter, what alternative do you have? The alternative that you are proposing is for all these teens to just take up, play sword fights in the middle of Hungary. And you also said on top of this that if you go down the electoral route, the BBC will come down on you, the powers that be will come down on you, and they'll quell it. What argument and what alternative do you think they're going to come down harder on? A bunch of people forming a peaceful, pacifistic party, building a community and trying to garner electoral success, or a violent uprising in the middle of Europe? Which one do you think is going to happen? And do you seriously think on top of this that a bunch of people wielding a bunch of swords, all right, I'm not sure the numbers you're going to garner, but do you seriously think that you stand a chance against the military-industrial complex? I mean, I just think it's ridiculous and very, very disingenuous in terms of the hope that we've been building and the white pilling that we've been building upon for the last couple of months.
I'll briefly have just a few points. The first thing I want to say is that Simon conducted an absolutely splendid interview. And if you haven't seen it, ladies and gentlemen, please get over there and please subscribe to Simon for the good work that he is doing. The conversation was engaging, to say the least. I listened to the whole interview and really enjoyed it. I think it says a lot. Nick's words about his experience, and that is how we should view it. is that this was his experience. These are his anticipations. He made some sound arguments. And I think that his experience should inform, at a minimum, political activities of any type or various types that are pursued or may be pursued or will be pursued in the future. It shouldn't have been viewed. I think I saw somebody say something about blackpilling. I didn't think it that way at all. I mean, we have people who get into the fray and they have stories to tell about it, and you can learn from their mistakes and you can learn from their victories as well as learn from how the anti-whites treated them and handled them in that scenario at that time. So I think that he offered if you view it properly, his experience, and there is something there to be gleaned by his experience and also his expectations born out of that experience. Finally, I'll just say this, please like the stream. We have 1,500 or so people watching, 700 some odd likes. And let's all like the stream to get people in here as quick as possible so that we can get Harry some more attention and some subscriptions for the work that he's doing for white well-being. And I pass it back to Mark.
Well, thank you. And I think that's wrapped that up nicely. You know, I think that I think we're doing what we're doing. We're spreading hope. And I get so many emails every day from people saying, Mark, can I have help? Or people saying, hey, you've really helped. You've given me a new perspective. And that's what I want. I don't think anyone's achieved a positive change without a positive mental attitude. No one went out into the world with a negative defeatist attitude and changed the world. You have to have some form of belief in victory. And if you don't, you're never going to achieve it. Do you think that when a team... I'll tell you, when I was 1999, I remember when Man United won the treble. And I remember them playing Bayern Munich in the final of the Champions League. And they were 1-0 down for the whole match. Bayern Munich were 1-0 up for the whole match. And it looked like disaster. But you know what? Man United never, ever dipped their heads. They never gave up hope. And in the last minute, they won 2-1. They just slotted two goals in and they kept trying. Now, some teams would have ended up saying, we've played for 89 damn minutes, 1-0 down. If we played for 89 minutes, you know, a goal adrift, we're not going to do it in the last minute. What's the odds of us turning around now? But they didn't. They kept their heads up and kept pushing. They won 2-1. They won the treble, the most successful team in the history of English football, because they never dipped their heads. And I've got to say this. If we're going to dip our heads now at the most crucial hour and start talking that it's all over, when we're still a majority, when we're building something that's got so much positivity and momentum behind it, well, more fool us. Our enemies spend their whole or a huge amount of their time and energy trying to demoralize us. Let's not demoralize ourselves. Let's try and lift ourselves up. Let's try and ensure that we as people spread hope, because if there's anything our people need, it's a little bit of hope, it's a little bit of positivity. And if there's one thing our people don't need, it's more negativity and defeatism. And Iron Blood's final question is, where is Dr. Patrick Slattery? Unfortunately, he had to leave the show due to a work scheduling conflict, so sadly isn't here. Rory Herbert asked, what does Jason think of the anti-lockdown protests going on in Michigan?
I didn't know, but with the mayor, I mean, the governor there, she is completely just insane. Another great example of hysteria afflicting a woman under pressure and deciding that you can't buy seeds. You can't buy the plants for your garden in spring, which is right now it's springtime. And why not? Why can't stores decide that they're going to say, well, you know, I go to the computer store because I'm building my new machine, and they have a virtual line. You scan a QR code, you get put in the virtual line, you go sit in your car, you stand in the parking lot, whatever it is. Then they say, you can come into our big box store. It's your turn. And, you know, they keep it sparse. They could do the exact same thing at all of these stores across Michigan. They could do the exact same thing in all of these places. And yet they're signing these. They're signing these sweep. She has no idea. And people are trying to excuse her behavior, saying, well, she's trying to get onto the ticket with the loony Biden. No, she is just melting down under pressure, which we often see with such individuals. And she is deciding we're going to have these sweeping things. Can't buy seeds. You can't buy your petunias or your begonias. When people need to do this stuff, if they're going to be home anyhow, they want to work on their lawns. They want to work on these. They give them something to do. No, you can't even go in here because I'm the school marm, and I'm going to say that people can't participate. They can't do anything. Sit down. I'm going to get out the ruler. I mean, this is the kind of anti-whiteism that we have to leave in the past, and we have to leave it there quick. And it does speak a lot to. I mean, maybe there are. We're talking about female leaders. There's certainly going to be some ladies out there that have the fortitude to hold positions of authority, but not the one in Michigan. And there are far fewer than there are when it comes to leadership in males. So I'll just, that's what I think of her and what's happening. And they absolutely, the good people of Michigan should revolt against this. They, listen, they are actually ticketing and punishing Christians for going to service, sitting in their car in the parking lot. And the preacher is out and he's outside. He's got the microphone and great big speakers, and they're showing up and saying, well, these people are in limbo now. Are you going to be ticketed? Are you going to be fined? Or what's going to happen to you? It's time to oppose this feminine anti-white insanity that is taking place in Michigan.
Okay. Sorry, I was typing there. You might have heard my typing. I was furiously typing and I didn't realize my mic was unmuted. My apologies. Slamara says, hi, guys. What are your thoughts towards the head of the World Health Organization who was too slow with the cholera crisis in Ethiopia, who is very obviously pro-China? How can we have a fair view of things? I don't know anything about this. Harry, do you know anything about this? Jason?
I do know a bit about this. But the first thing, you mentioned that Man U Bayern Munich game. I was 2 weeks old there. My dad missed the two goals finally because I was crying upstairs in the bath or whatever. He had to come and tend to me. So that's all I know on that matter, if that makes you feel old. Sorry if I've ruined it, if I made you feel old.
Does your dad like resent you forevermore? Is he like,
yeah, wow. he's always hated me since, you know, he missed a glorious moment in English football. So that's unfortunate on his part. But, you know, maybe I just didn't want him to see the goals. Maybe it was a prophecy all along. But yeah, this World Health Organization, this is something I want to be going on about quickly as well. And this is the NHS and White Scam, all these different health organizations. Well, the World Health Organization on the 14th of January 2020, when the worldwide cases was below 600, most of these were in China, by the way, so at a period of time where it could have been contained, they outright tweeted that there was no medical evidence which stated that there was human-to-human transmission of the coronavirus. Now, the leader of this World Health Organization is the first man ever to represent the World Health Organization who does not have a medical background. Now, I know you don't have to be a professional Premier League footballer to tell you that Mustafi isn't the best centre-back ever, just like you don't have to be a five-star chef to tell you that a meal's terrible. But you'd have thought with something as prestigious as the World Health Organization, they'd have perhaps a background in medical studies. Well, no, the alternative to which he does have is a history in a prescribed Communist Party. It was prescribed as a terrorist organization by the US and Ethiopia. And he was a member of this organization. I can't actually remember the name of this organization, but it goes back to the NHS. And everyone in this country seems to worship the NHS. Everyone in this country seems to worship these health organizations. And if you attack the NHS, then you're somehow a terrible person. You're attacking these hardworking workers. Well, the fact of the matter is the NHS is a scam, and it simply subsidizes big farmers' profits via the taxpayer. If I could go into the NHS tomorrow with my keto diet and tell everyone to stop consuming carbohydrates and sugar, and I would cut the NHS budget, which is £140 billion, by 10%, because 10% of the NHS's budget is focused purely on treating type 2 diabetes. And on top of this, the remainder of the NHS's budget is around 130 billion. Now, furthermore from this, so I don't mean to take up too much time, but from this, you've got to understand that the remainder of this is spent on staff wages and medicines. Well, who's paying for the medicines? Who are the people that are profiting off selling these medicines to the NHS? They don't come from nowhere. The NHS don't produce them themselves. So for people to go on and say, we must protect the NHS, we must throw more money at it, all you're doing is offshoring taxpayer money to Big Pharma. And we all know who perhaps could be potentially running the scenes behind Big Pharma. This entire culture of hyper sugar consumption and hyper carbohydrate consumption, which goes all the way back to Ansel Keys. You might want to early life him on Wikipedia. He came out with the seven country study, which stated that fat and cholesterol was the reason for coronary disease, heart attacks, which was a complete myth. He was a conspiracy theorist. He stated that in these 22 countries, I'm going on a ramble here, but essentially get on the keto diet and stop consuming sugar. I know you love your cream eggs, Mark. I know you said they were your Achilles heel. You need to get off it. You need to stop consuming your old sugar, Mark. Come on. You can't
get away from my cream egg. No. I can tell you this. Easter has been a bad time for the supermarkets and Easter egg sales. And I went to my local supermarket yesterday and cleaned them out of cut price Easter eggs. I've got so many now. I'm going to be living off Red Bull and out of date Easter eggs. Simon Coates gave £5 and said, ultimately, we must wake ourselves. But without others like you, the sleep would be much longer. Thank you very much, my friend. Oh my gosh. White Leg Slayer says, Mark, cream eggs are 12p at Tesco. Now, mine was sold out of cream eggs. I ended up having to go for blooming egg and spoon. I've been reduced to egg and spoon. This is just a joke. If anyone knows a Tesco that I can drive to without getting arrested for breaking the curfew, I will go and raid them of all their cream eggs. I do love cream eggs. And I've just got to do a quick shout out to a couple of people. Now, this is possibly the funniest thing I have ever seen. This is Laura Towler has been sharing this. It's by a guy called No Chance. Now, this guy, if he's in the chat, I can't see you in the chat. You are fantastic. This video is amazing. And there is that. There is his video. It's in the chat. Save that. It's on my Telegram. It's the funniest thing you can imagine. It's about somebody that was on the show. We were discussed on the show earlier, so watch that. But that does bring us about to the end of the show. So, first and foremost, I would like to thank the fantastic Harry. Harry, please give yourself a fitting outro. Tell us where we can find you, and hopefully your channel will have grown over the course of this show.
Thank you very much. Bit of a voice crack there. Not a great start to the old introduction or the outro, shall I say. Want to give a shout out to the man, the main man himself, Dangerfield. Thank you very much for getting me involved in nationalism, boosting me up to the stage I am now. Same to I'm washed. Thank you very much. But you can find me on the True K. That's the way to pronounce it, by the way. I've never actually said it's the True K show. So the TRUK show. You can find me on YouTube. Subscribe to me there. I do a Monday to Friday show at 6 p.m. where I talk about all sorts of contemporary issues, the news, and I give my takes on it. Cultural issues as well. But I think that should do it. Thank you very much for having me on. Been a pleasure and a great show.
Thank you, my friend. Now, Jason, what are you up to after the show? Is there an after party? What have you got planned? Who is the guest? Shill a little bit for your own channel.
NoWhiteGuilt.org, the afterparty.tv, the great Jared George and myself will have someone on tap on Friday or Saturday. You won't find that show on the No White Guilt channel. You'll find it on Gardening with NWG, which I've posted the link to a couple times, or Discipline with NWG. What else do we have going on? Tomorrow, I am going to be at 2 p.m. What is that? 7 your time, right? So 7 your time, Absolute State of Britain. I will be on with them tomorrow, and I presume it's live. But I think that's all we have. When we find out who we'll have on tap, we'll let everybody know. But it's been a marvelous time appearing with Harry. I thank you, brother, for your service to white well-being, and I expect and hope and challenge you to do great things for our people moving forward with the rest of your life. It will be, in service to white well-being, the greatest thing that you can do in your life and with your life. And starting now in that service, you will be able to tap into a great many strengths, physical, mental, and spiritual, that others your age will miss out on in the totality of their lives. They will wither and sicken while you get stronger. And everyone, if you haven't, please sub to his channel and let's promote this young man. Thank you all for being here. Pass it back to our leader, Mark Collin.
Well, thank you. Thank you to Harry and thank you to Jason. Now, before we go, the big thing next week, episode 50 of PWR, the man himself, the one and only David Duke, is coming back. He is back live on this channel with myself and Jason. We're both a bit nervous because he's a big personality with a big set of biceps, and we don't have Patrick to rein him in. I am going to be giving him a strict no more than 5 minutes per answer, and we are going to keep the news items short, the questions and answers a little bit longer. You will all have a chance to speak to the man himself. He is the very special guest. The man who was episode 50 of Tutar is now coming back for episode 50 of PWR. And we will be saying this, that special stream will go live 7 p.m. next week as usual, but it will be deleted immediately for obvious reasons. This stream will be deleted in 12 hours and will move over onto my BitChute channel. Now, just final bits of business. I will be back on Friday night for a stream at 7 p.m. That stream will be about the coronavirus. All my thoughts laid out in one place. So people, please stop emailing me about it. I'm going to give all my thoughts. You'll be able to ask me questions through Entropy. And we will have a proper show dedicated to this where I talk to you and we get to the bottom of all this as a group. How's that? That's what people wanted. So that's what I'm going to do. Now, next, I will also be on with Frody Midyord after the coronavirus stream. He is doing a series of film reviews with nationalists who talk about a film. I have chosen Goodfellas and I have been watching it this week and I've noticed loads of interesting things I never noticed before. I've watched it very carefully. I've gone through it. I've analyzed the kind of way the film was made and I've noticed things that are very interesting about it. It's my favorite film of all time and it's something I'm really passionate about. I like films. So I will be on with Frody Midyord after that. So that is very, very good. Do you want to say something there, Harry? You're unmuted.
No, I was just coughing. I was just clearing my throat. I had a bit of an itch.
Yes. Okay. Well, and so Goodfellas with Frody Midyord after the stream about coronavirus. So that about brings me to the end of the show. Next week, we will have an update on Rodney, the little bird I've rescued. There seems to be huge debate on whether he is a starling, which is what the woman at the animal rescue said he was when I sent a picture, or a blackbird, which is what people say tonight. So, we will see what he develops into and hopefully he will get to full strength and fly away before he absolutely wrecks my downstairs bathroom where he is trapped in at the moment. I'm going to go and feed him. So thank you to Harry. Thank you to Jason. Thank you to all the people who donated so generously. That is very kind of you. And if you want to donate via other means, please use Bitcoin or you can now donate via Entropy after the stream has ended or write to me at the Fall of Western Man, mark@thefallofwesternman.com. So that just leaves me to say one big last thank you. Thank you to all of the people in the stream. We had over 1,500 people watching live at our peak. It has been fantastic. I love you all. This community is what we fight for. It is what lifts my spirits on a daily basis. Thank you so much. I hope you stay safe during these trying times. I look forward to seeing you on Friday. Stay safe. Have a great rest of your evening. And I will see you again next week. Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Scott.